So we've been doing this series on hope, and Lavanya started with the power of hope, and then Chris did, hope sets us free. Then we had hope in the everyday, and today, my title of my message is hope is for everyone. So turn to the person next to you and say, hope is for everyone. Before I get into the word, I actually have an amazing testimony of something that happened this week. So I have a friend who's been working for a church, and anyway, he'd become just quite hopeless in the last few weeks, and particularly just something happened this week, and he decided to pretty much spur of the moment to book a flight for the next day, pack up and go back home and leave everything. And I managed to just talk to him for a bit, but I didn't manage kind of to properly just discuss his decision and discuss what was happening in his life. And I really wanted someone to be around him at that moment. And it turns out, so he booked this flight for the next day, and it turns out there's a pastor at the church. And this pastor at this church is an incredible mentor, an incredible leader, and in very good at saying just the right thing at the right time. And it turns out he'd actually already booked this same flight to this same place. And not only that, my friend had to book business class because he had a number of luggage. He had two basically suitcases, and it's cheaper to go business class if you have two suitcases sometimes than it is to go economy and pay for the extra luggage. And so this pastor had also had the same problem and needed the extra luggage, and he'd booked this business class ticket. So they end up in this business class lounge, in the same place, at the same time, and this pastor ends up talking to him for 2 hours and filling him with hope and filling him again and actually giving him a plan of where to go. And I'm telling you this story this morning because you know what? That person in your world who's hopeless, that person, maybe you have a son or a daughter that's walked away from God, or maybe you have a friend that's walked away from God, but I know that God can give divine appointments. Like this pastor being at the right place at the right time to be able to mentor this guy for 2 hours and just give him hope and tell him where to go. So in your own life, I would encourage you today to pray for those around you. Pray for divine appointments. Pray that God will put the right person in the right place at the right time, because there is hope, and there is hope for everyone. There is hope no matter where they go, no matter what decision they make, no matter if they decide to pack up and leave everything and move. There is hope because we have a God who is good. Right, I'm going to get to the word. So if you do have a Bible, turn to Acts 10. If not, then it will come up on the screen. So I'm going to start from verse 9. And the context of this story is Peter is going on the roof to pray. But it's noon and he's really quite hungry. And so how many of you are very hungry when you pray and are just thinking about food? So Peter was the same. He was thinking about what he was going to eat. And anyway, he began praying. And then verse 11, I'm going to start reading from. So Peter saw this in a vision. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Okay, this is a bit of a random story. Peter sees all of these animals, and then he hears a voice saying, "Kill them and eat them." But the problem with this story is that Peter is a Jew, and now the Jews were a set apart nation, which means they were set apart by God, set apart to be God's own people. And because they were set apart, they had all these laws in Leviticus, and they had all these rules that they followed because they were different from non-Jews. They were different from Gentiles to show that they were God's own people. And now Chris can teach you a lot on Leviticus. He's actually doing an hour teaching tomorrow on Leviticus and the actual grace of God within Leviticus. So if you want to hear more about Leviticus, I'm sure Chris will do a session with you. But anyway, Peter would never eat anything that would make him not set apart, which would make him not one of God's people. But not only that, to be unclean means you couldn't be in the presence of God. So they basically had a temple with God's presence in. And if you were unclean, you couldn't be near the temple. You couldn't be near God's presence. So if Peter ate one of these animals that he's seen, he'd be unclean. He would be unable to meet with God. He would be unable to be one of God's people. And so suddenly he's got this vision, and it's confusing him. He's got this vision of these animals, and probably one of the most famous animals that Jewish people don't eat are pigs. So I want to ask you the question this morning. Does this vision mean we have to eat pigs? Does it mean that Peter in particular has to eat pigs? And I've heard many Christians say when they get their roast pork out, this is a Christian food, because look in this scripture, it says to kill and eat the pig. I actually think it's a little bit of a deeper meaning than that. And actually, if you read the context of the passage, it is slightly different. So verse 17, Peter's a little bit confused about what this vision means. He doesn't want to eat anything unclean, but the vision was quite clear when God says these things are clean. So then there's a man that comes to the door, a man who's sent by someone called Cornelius. Now, what's important to know about Cornelius is he's not a Jew. And now the Jews weren't allowed to go in the house of someone that wasn't a Jew. And so Cornelius is a Gentile. But not only that, this guy who's asked for Peter, Cornelius, he's a Roman. And now the Romans at that time were oppressing the Jews. So they were ruling over the land and they were oppressing them. There was crucifixions, there was tortures and beatings, and they were taxing them to poverty, basically. And so this guy is a Roman. So even he's a Gentile and he's a Roman. But he's not only just a Roman, he's in the Roman army. He's a Roman soldier, which means he's part of the group that are oppressing God's people and oppressing the Jews. But not only is he a Roman soldier, he's a Roman centurion. And now that means he actually had 100 soldiers underneath him. So Peter would never have been allowed in this person's house. Someone who's a Gentile, a Roman soldier, and a Roman centurion. Someone who is not one of God's people, who is a Roman. But Peter goes because he's seen this vision. He's seen this vision, and it's confused him, and he's trying to understand what that means. And he enters this person's house. And you know what in verse 28 he says? You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anything as impure or unclean. You know, it was never about the killing the animal and eating the animal. It was about God offending Peter's mind. God offending his mind that these people that didn't follow the Jewish laws, these people that were considered unclean, that you know what? He needed to go to this person's house. He needed to be there. God, Jesus came for the Gentile. Jesus came for everyone. It was never about the meat. It was never about the ritual. It was never about that. And you know what happens in the story if you read it a bit? So Cornelius actually had a vision. This Roman centurion had a vision 4 days before of Peter. He had a vision to send for Peter, and he had a vision that God had heard his prayer and God had noticed him. God had noticed a man who was a Roman, a man who was a centurion. God had noticed his heart and wanted him. And you know what Peter says to that in verse 34? I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. He accepts everyone, those who fear him and do what is right. And you know what? Peter then preaches the gospel to him. Peter preaches the gospel that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for his sins. And you know what happens? As Peter preaches the gospel, the Holy Spirit falls on the room. The Holy Spirit descends, and these Gentile people, people that weren't part of the Jews, weren't part of God's chosen people, these Gentile people get filled with the Holy Spirit as Peter's preaching. You know what? They didn't say a prayer. They didn't follow a discipleship process. They didn't do any of that. As Peter's preaching, before they even have a chance to respond, the Holy Spirit falls on that room and they start speaking in tongues and they get saved there and then. And that's amazing because it's Peter's vision that the people who do this, the Gentiles, the people that don't follow the Jewish laws, can be saved and are not impure and unclean, and God has made them clean, and then the Holy Spirit falls on them. And Peter realizes that he needs to get them baptized. So the Holy Spirit actually falls on them before they're baptized, and Peter's catching up with it, and Peter's like, oh, I need to baptize these people because they're already Christians. So he ends up baptizing them. You know, these were the first ever Gentile believers in the Bible. So Gentiles like you and me, these were the first ever ones. And it came through God offending Peter's mind through that vision. God, it wasn't about what Peter was eating or drinking. God offended his mind that these people can be saved, that this hope, this gospel is for everyone. This gospel is for every nationality, every tribe, every age group, every person. This gospel is for everyone. And Peter followed and preached the gospel to them, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. You know what? This actually sparked a huge debate. It sparked a huge debate among the apostles because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know whether these people needed to follow Jewish rules and get circumcised and follow all of that stuff, or whether these people could continue their own traditions and their own stuff. So it started this big thing called the Jerusalem Council. And Peter actually spoke up in this because he saw that vision from God that these people were made clean. And Peter speaks up and says, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. We don't need to put a yoke around people. We are saved because it's a one-step program. And you know what? James rounds off the whole meeting. So James is Peter's brother, and he rounds off this big meeting, and he says, it's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. We should not make it difficult for people, no matter where they come from, no matter what background they are, we should not make it difficult for people to come into the kingdom of God, because it's actually a one-step process. And you know what I see? I see in this community, it's like I have this picture of these people that are in chains, and as they're running towards God, as they're running towards Jesus, as they're running towards the church, I see the chains falling off them. I see people get set free in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't matter where they're from. And I see a hunger in this place, a hunger in this community rising up. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if your family is a family that has anger issues, because you know what? God can set you free. It doesn't matter if your family is one that's fearful in nature, because you know what? God can set you free towards faith. It doesn't matter if you come from a background of false expectations and guilt that's been put on you all the time, because God can lift that burden, because God's come for everyone. And you know what? The Gentiles didn't receive a mini Holy Spirit. they didn't receive a Holy Spirit that was less than the Jews. They didn't receive a Holy Spirit just because they didn't follow the traditions. They didn't follow what the Jewish people eat. They didn't receive anything less. They actually received a full Holy Spirit. They received a full Holy Spirit straight away, actually. This is an amazing encounter. Like the first Gentile believers didn't even have to say anything. They just received the Holy Spirit on the spot, which is amazing. They didn't receive a junior Holy Spirit. And actually this morning, you're not free in part, you're free in whole. God hasn't done part of the work, he's done the whole work. It was finished on that cross on that day. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We have the hope of freedom in Christ. We have a hope to be free in him. We have a hope because you know what? It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. God, there is hope for you and there is hope for everyone, and God can set you free this morning. So my first point was it doesn't matter where you come from. My second point this morning is it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you currently are. It doesn't matter what you've currently walked in this building with. And I think the best kind of description of this, the best way this is shown in the gospel is actually by Jesus. So some of you may know the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. So there was this woman who was caught in the acts of adultery, and basically the religious people grabbed her, pulled her out on the street, and she probably was in a bit of a mess. She was just caught in that act and probably wasn't wearing a lot and humiliated in the street. And all these religious people gather around her like they're going to throw, and they were going to throw stones at her and kill her. And you know what Jesus does? He says, let any of you who is without sin cast the first stone. And you know what? All the religious people have to leave because they have sin in their lives. Jesus saves that woman. And I want to focus on this part of the story. Jesus then comes up to her and says, neither do I condemn you. Jesus is without sin, but he says to her, neither do I condemn you for what you've done. But then he says, go now and leave your life of sin. Sometimes the sin in our life is the thing that entraps us, and it causes us to live in condemnation, to live in shame and guilt and fear. But we can be free. We can be free from that. And I believe God is setting us free this morning from the things that are holding us back. You know what? We don't have to carry that burden anymore. And you know what? In Romans 6, it talks about it talks about sin actually leading to death. It talks about actually we need to not sin anymore, because actually that does lead to death. And you've actually been set free from this and have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can be free. We can be free from the wages of death. We can be free from that life. We can be free from the shame. And you know what? It's not a self-help book. It's not like a self-effort where we need to try and be as good as possible and then we'll get into church. We need to try and be the best person, and then maybe we'll be accepted by Jesus. And a lot of the times we can do that. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says first that neither do I condemn you. Before he says, go leave your life of sin, he says, I don't condemn you. Sometimes we live under condemnation. We walk in the room, we think of what everything we've done wrong. And I was speaking to someone this week who said to me, I have a problem with anger. And I actually looked at this person and said, you really don't have a problem with anger. You have a problem with condemnation. Because your reaction to situations is normal, but because you're feeling something, you're then condemning yourself and condemning yourself and condemning yourself, and the anger's getting worse and worse and worse, and it's like a negative cycle in you. And that's what's causing the negativity. It's not the anger itself, it's the condemnation that you're living under. Because actually, when we live under sin, it actually leads to death, not life. But Jesus has come that we are free, because he says, neither do I condemn you. And then we can go and choose, and we can live a life without sin, because we know our identity in him. We know that we can be free. We know that we can be sons and daughters in him. So hope is for everyone. It doesn't matter what you've walked into this room with. It doesn't matter where you are. Hope is for everyone. It doesn't matter what you're facing. And you know, in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to draw near to God first, and then he will draw near to us. So it's like we draw near to God, and then he says to us, you belong, you're accepted, I don't condemn you, I love you, you're my son, you're my daughter. And then he says, go and be free. Don't live in death anymore. Don't live in condemnation. Go and be free and sin no more. But it's first we belong. So later on, after in the passage about the woman in adultery, later on in John 8, it says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the son sets you free this morning, you will be free indeed. You will be free from the sin. You'll be free from the fear, the insecurity, the stuff that's been holding you back, whatever's been holding you back today. You will be free. If the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He did it all. It's not in part, it's the whole lot. So hope is for everyone. Hope is for everyone. No matter where you've come from, no matter where you are today, hope is for everyone. My third point today I want to talk about is it doesn't matter where it looks like you're going. Right now, it doesn't matter where circumstances look like you're going. There is a hope and a future for you. So a few hundred years before Jesus, well, actually several hundred years before Jesus, the Jewish people were in captivity. They were in an exile period, and it was by their own doing, by their own sin, by what they'd actually done against God. They ended up in another land under captivity, and things looked hopeless. Basically, they were in a hopeless situation. And do you know what God says to them? God says through Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants to bring you a future and a hope this morning. It doesn't matter whether it looks like situations are going to be terrible. These people were just in a rubbish situation under captivity. But God says, I want to give you a future and I want to give you a hope. No matter if you've even brought yourself into that situation, they'd actually brought themselves into this situation. But God still said, I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. And like sometimes when we even bring ourselves into situations, that sin often makes us doubt God's goodness, often makes us doubt whether God will ever get us out, whether there's ever going to be a hope in our lives. But I can tell you this morning, there is a future and a hope. You know what? Everyone in this room has a destiny from God. If you're still breathing right now, you're here for a purpose and you're here for a reason. And God says, I have a future and I have a hope for your life. I have a future and a hope and a plan for you. I have a plan for something that you can do, something that you can change the world with, something that you can impact people. I actually have a future and a hope for you, no matter what your situation looks like, no matter what your circumstance looks like. God says to you this morning, I have a future for you. I have a hope for you. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you know the hope. You know the hope of the gospel. You know the hope that he has called you to. The hope that's just wages against the negativity sometimes in our society. Sometimes in our society, people will tell you, I don't know, it's always going to be like that. It's always going to be rubbish. That's just what happens. It's always, and sometimes there's just this negative voice. But this morning, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you know the hope. You know the hope that he has called to you, because hope is for everyone. Hope is for everyone in every circumstance of every single generation. Hope is for everyone. And you know what? This morning, Jesus stands at the door. He stands, he's there, he's knocking. He's knocking at the door to your heart. He's knocking and he wants to change your life. He wants to change things. He wants to change the way you view circumstance, the way you view what you're going through right now, the way you view him, the way you view the world, because there's the hope of being set free. There's the hope of circumstance being changed. There's the hope of salvation. There's the hope of the age to come. The hope of salvation. The hope of eternal life. There is hope. There's everlasting hope in him. There's everlasting hope that we're going to be free. We're going to be free from this world. But we can bring the kingdom. God wants the kingdom to come now. God wants the kingdom in your life to come now. He wants to set you free, because whom the Son sets free this morning is free indeed. And this morning, maybe you want to just think about something. Think about an area in your life that maybe is blocking you. Maybe an area of people's expectations of you. Maybe there might be just a burden in your life. Maybe it's insecurity or fear or anger. No matter what area in your life, just think about that this week and pray that God would impact it, and pray that God's hope would change it, and actually declare this week, declare over your life, not just pray, actually declare that this is going to change now in the name of Jesus. That I'm going to, that this is going to move. That fear is going to be broken now in the name of Jesus. That things are going to change now in the name of Jesus. And I wonder if the band could come up. I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray. That things in your life are going to change, that things in your heart are going to change. And you know what? That generations and generations of things that have gone on in your family are going to change, and that you're not going to be under that. You're not going to be under the yoke of what's happened, but hope, God's hope, Jesus will set you free this morning. Jesus will set you free from everything. And Jesus will give you the hope of a new life, the hope of a new start right now, the hope of salvation, the hope that things will change, the hope. Because you know what? Hope is for everyone in this room. Hope is for every tribe, every tongue, every nationality, every person. Hope is for everyone. And I want to pray. God, you see everyone here. I pray, Lord, right now, over everyone's minds, you'd fill them with hope. You'd fill them with your hope. You'd fill them with your truth. You'd fill them with your clarity. And right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that fear would be broken, that lies over people's minds would be broken now in the name of Jesus. I declare that unbelief would be broken now in the name of Jesus. I declare that generations of anxiety would break now in the name of Jesus. I declare that generations of anger, that generations of pain would be broken now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray over everyone's minds. I pray for clarity. I pray that they would see the hope of Jesus. They would see the hope that's in the gospel. We speak life now in the name of Jesus. We speak life over our situations. We speak life. We speak life over sickness. We speak life over our minds now. In the name of Jesus, we declare.
Again, I'm not enough unless you come.